Hello, it's me.
I'm back, bitch. Welcome back to another episode of It's Not That Weird. You're single.
Yeah.
Why is that?
You're adorable.
You're entertaining for sure.
You can also be a bitch.
I was actually really hoping to make Jay cry.
Tell me about your dead father.
Oh, this is all I could have ever dreamed of. And yeah, I'm not judging.
It's
I'm
gross.
Just saying.
It's weird.
They didn't traumatize you? You don't talk about
they
that?
They definitely did.
You can't ask me that.
It's not that weird.
Hello. Again, I'm so excited to be back. I know that I only took like a one episode break, but let me tell you about what's been going on. If you recall, in the last episode with Josh, I mentioned in the intro that I had lost my voice. I had just gotten back from Nashville and done a lot of screaming and singing and drinking. But as it turned out, I actually had COVID for the second time, which really blew. I was totally fine after a couple of days. It was actually much easier the second time than it was the first time. But I will say, both times I had COVID, I definitely experienced this dip in mood. Like, I got so down. I was so down, and it took me a while to feel like normal again. And that's fine. I mean, it's cool. It happens. Everyone needs a break, and I don't feel bad for having to take a break. But I will say, I consistently check streaming numbers and such, and every single day, I was shocked at how many downloads the episodes were getting without any promotion, without me talking about it. I was laying pretty low. I was so happy. It was like healing to see that all these people are still listening to the podcast. You're still downloading the podcast, even when I'm not talking about it. So I'm happy to be back. I feel like we're getting somewhere, and this growth has just been crazy. So thank you again. I'm so excited for the coming months. I have some crazy ideas that I'm really hoping I get to share with you soon. I am also extremely excited to present this next guest because we had a fantastic conversation. This is a makeup episode because I actually interviewed this girl like a couple months ago, ran into the inevitable technical issues. Well, not inevitable. There was a corrupted file and it was very annoying. But anyway, the timing of this ended up being perfect to re-record this because some things have changed in her life. Some things have changed in my life. She is a wonderful, wonderful person to talk to. I think she also has the sweetest voice ever. So give it a listen and tell me how right I am. She's awesome. So without further ado, I am proud to introduce this week's guest for episode 14. Hey, please help me welcome a badass woman, a mother, a true feminist, a little tiny woman, but she is a force to be reckoned with. Please help me welcome Cameron Bastine. All of those nights that I'm not in your bed. Creating cold thoughts that are inside of your head, your head. 'Cause we are liars, oh no. 'Cause we are liars, and I can see right through you, yeah. I can see right through you, yeah. I can see.
It's really fun to listen to, though. Sound like little robots.
I still have my old questions because, like, after it went wrong, I just kept everything.
Yeah,
but
that's smart.
Honestly,
there's a whole bunch of different stuff going on,
so
too.
Much
so it's
stuff.
Like,
I guess we'll start right there. So, we previously recorded a podcast episode and I loved it. It was such a good conversation.
It was a great conversation.
I know, and I feel so bad. I want to say that everything kind of happens for a reason because so much of what we talked about, like the specific things have changed or I have like updates or something like that.
Drastically, yeah.
Very much so. So, I'm really excited to talk.
I know, me too.
It's going to be good.
Me too.
Okay. So, we'll preface this the same way we did last time and say that we went to high school together.
Yes.
But over the past probably year or so, we've kind of connected in a way.
I definitely think via social media,
we definitely,
I think it's the point of views that we have when it comes to political aspects and just like social aspects too that I'm like, oh, I really like Tori. She's really fucking cool.
Well, thank you. I think you're really
welcome.
Cool too.
Thank you so much.
I mean, part of that, it was also kind of our sentiments towards like some people from where we came from, which is Essex, and how maybe we're not so similar to them.
Yes,
and
very much.
Yeah, I really bonded with people from Essex over how much like it's like, wow, these people we went to high school with are pretty terrible now.
Jobs, right? Literally whack jobs. Yeah, I know. Like when we were saying last time when it came to that, and okay, so I'm gonna, because a lot has happened.
Yeah.
So we're looking for a house right now. Mm. And my parents are like, oh my God, there's places in Essex you should go to, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And actually, funny enough, there is a place, Cranbrook Court, right across from Essex Public.
That's my sister's house.
Shut up.
That's
okay.
My sister's
so
house.
I used to live there way back when with my mom, when yeah, she was just a single parent, right? So it was good memories growing up, yeah, I will say. But to live there again.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. And my mom's just trying to convince us and yeah, trying to convince. She's like, well, you have all of us here and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And Essex is a great town, especially for schools. I'm like, no, it's not. And yeah, she was like, oh, well, why? I'm like, well, to just give a whole bunch of context here. I'm like, when you were there, you were a single parent. Yeah. You definitely needed the help. My grandparents were close by. Yeah. So we were able to have that help between. Mm-hmm. I have a great partner. We're mm-hmm, having our second kid now.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to talk about that too. But yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And then I'm like, I don't really enjoy the people that live in Essex. Yeah. I don't enjoy the mentality. Mm-hmm. It is predominantly white. Yeah. And I have noticed that my old ways of thinking were very toxic and mm-hmm, very bigoted, based on the fact that everyone was white, yeah, and no one knew of different ethnicities. Yeah. So I'm like, I don't want my kids to grow up in that framework.
The environment, and
then,
yeah,
yeah, and, yeah, and then they not know different ethnicities outside of Essex and have just this small mind, yeah, and them feel like they need to stay in that little town. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go back there. I don't want to, yeah, go back to old ways and then rehash old feelings. Yeah. It's not for me.
Yeah, no, so. And you want better for your kids, right? Like that's... That
absolutely
seems to be kind of the general thing, but that's so funny because, yes, that's my sister's house.
That's hilarious. Oh, my God. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, she just put it on the market and stuff. See, everything happens for a reason.
It really does. It really does.
It's funny that you mentioned that. I totally agree. And, again, that's why I think it's so special when you meet these people who are just like, yeah, we came from the same kind of environment, but we were able to kind of, like, unlearn some things.
Yes.
Again, I think I said this last time, but I remember people in my grade specifically – the, you know, truck club, the men,
ugh,
the group.
Yeah.
Yeah, ugh. I'll say it openly, ugh. One person specifically, I remember, used to brag, like they would all think it was so funny that one of their grandpas was like extremely racist. They're like, we love to get together and drink with him because he's just so funny and so racist and he just says the most. And I was like, why are you bragging about
that's
this?
That's not something to brag about.
No, that's weird.
That's
but
like
this
hush,
was like,
hush.
You know, like five, six, well, how long have we been graduating? Ugh, like 8, 9 years. So,
isn't that
I mean,
crazy?
Regardless.
Don't talk about that.
I know,
that's
it's
insane.
It's weird. The more time goes by, I'm turning 25 in a month and I know you're a year older, but I'm just like, that's such a number. Like,
I know.
That's such a, I know, it's wild. It's wild. So, you do still have friends who are from Essex. I know this.
I
right?
do, yeah. And actually, majority of them have moved out of Essex because of these reasons, too, right?
Look at it.
So, I'm very thankful to be surrounded by those people that mm-hmm, are able to connect that way and were able to get past that mentality that Essex had. Like Jarrett Nada, who just the way that he was treated and ugh, everyone knew he was gay, right?
Yeah.
And he wasn't really quiet about it, but he never outright said that
yeah,
he was gay.
Yeah.
But it was just the treatment that he got because yeah, of it. And I remember the very last day when we graduated and how he just tweeted out, yeah, I'm gay, for all you bitches
that
to know. And we're all like, yeah, Jer, we all know.
Yeah, of course. But people were so obsessed with, like, identifying
they
anybody
who
was different.
They had to have, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't even like talk about how you're gay because, like, well, I'll accept you. It was just like, no, you're gay. Why aren't you saying it? Like, one of my best friends from my grade, he was also gay, but he didn't actually come out, I guess we'll say, or he wasn't open about it until after our grade graduated and he went back for a fifth year. And
yeah,
then he was more open about it. And he actually apologized to me for, because we were so close and he had never outright said it to me. And I was like, babe, that is
Don't
your
apologize.
Journey. That is not,
yeah,
we never wanted him to, you know, be too out about it or whatever
no,
it was that he wanted to be. I mean, it's your life. You know best.
And it is a very right? tough environment yeah, to come out as gay, even though we are more progressive as a society.
Yeah.
When it comes to situations like that, like my sister's in high school right now, and mm-hmm, just hearing this, it's the same shit over and over. And I'm like, no wonder these poor people, like, I'm bisexual,
yeah,
and I had never, ever came out that way.
Yeah.
And I was terrified of anyone knowing because
yeah,
everyone had that bigoted mindset, right?
Yeah.
Of, oh my God, well, is she attracted to me? Does
yeah,
she want to sleep with me? And I'm like, no, I don't want to fucking sleep
yeah,
with
or like,
you.
That's just
but it's like,
people.
Yeah, like I don't need to label myself as such just because it makes you feel more comfortable that
mm-hmm,
you know who I am. And
100%.
You don't need to know that about
yeah,
me unless I want you to know that
yeah,
about me, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't make make me feel safe to be able to say that. Or mm-hmm. people are like, ah, no, she just has crushes on girls. Like,
sure.
Okay.
Sure. yeah, I'm sure. Oh,
you know what I mean?
Or, no, but you're totally right. Is there's like, I think when you're from a small town, people almost think that they're entitled to your business.
Yes.
Like, and it's the same way that like my parents know everything about my neighbor or something like that.
Yes.
Like, and they like take pride in it or something like that. But I mean, that's that small town mentality. It's just, again, you think you're entitled to people's business. And mm-hmm. then you think that also like gossip is like a currency. Like,
yes.
You know what I mean? Like the information
like you
have
give
on
some,
like,
and I'll take some. Yeah.
yeah on mm-hmm. the Millers or the Smiths or the whatever. Like, it's just like, it's just, it is what it is. But actually, okay, something else that we talked about, and mm-hmm. I forgot that we talked about it until a little bit ago, but we talked about one of the specific things that I guess reconnected us was you had tweeted something
yes.
about this group chat. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize I needed to talk about it on the podcast until we talked about it.
Absolutely.
And then I was like, oh, fuck, I wish that I got to put this out because I have so many people to say fuck you to about this.
As you should, because
yes.
they deserve it.
Oh, okay.
They need to be called out because they never got called out in that time, right?
No. Okay, so you had tweeted something about, remember how messed up it was that when we were in high school, there was an all males group chat mm-hmm. that would exchange people's nudes, like
yes.
girls' nudes,
yep.
like a big group chat full of, and these were like men because they were like 18.
They
some
were.
Of them.
They were all like grade 11s and 12s.
Yeah, yeah, which is disgusting. So they created a group chat to exchange nudes that they had received or seen
yep.
or whatever the fuck it was. But I, when I was in grade 9, had a very interesting an experience because I had sent nudes to one specific person,
mm-hmm.
but he had an older sister this is what he claimed happened. I don't
yeah.
really care, but he says that his older sister's friends had seen them on his phone, and so they sent them to themselves, and that's how they got distributed throughout the grade 12s. And so then the entire school kind of like trickled down, where it started with these like really old men who had seen these pictures. I know. And then it like went to grade 11s and it went to your grade. And I felt like everybody hated me. Like, there was probably a good 2 years before I could like shake this persona that I was the girl
that
who
you
sent
were
nudes.
The slut that, yeah. Isn't that so sad how
it's
you were
so
the
fucked.
Victim and yet people just villainized you for something
yeah.
that when you're that age, your brain isn't fully developed. And I remember being that age too, where I just wanted to have everyone's approval
yeah.
and I wanted that male validation.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to get that, if they were asking me to do something, I'd be like, well, I don't feel great about it,
yeah.
but you know, maybe I'll do it and they'll actually like me. And
yeah.
you know what? That made me into the biggest school slut too. And that's
right?
why everyone hated me. So I totally understand what you're talking
yeah.
about. And it's such a shame that our society has allowed that to happen when it comes to victims.
Yeah.
Where the Me Too movement, when it first came out, and how men were like, well, we can't do anything. And it's like, oh, you can't sexually abuse other people.
Yeah.
And it's
harass people and exploit people.
Yeah,
so
like,
sorry for
oh, my
your
God, I'm
loss.
So sorry that
Why
you don't know how to
point?
Act. Yeah, like, these poor women that are coming
yeah.
out with abuse allegations because you did abuse them and
yeah.
you did take advantage. And now you're upset about it because
yeah.
you got called out.
Yeah.
You deserve to be called out. The
yeah.
same way those boys in grade 11 and 12 deserve to be called out
mm-hmm.
because they were distributing child pornography.
And that was the thing.
So
by the like the end of grade 9, which again, this followed me for like, I would say like a good 2 years. But at the end of grade 9, I got called into the principal's office, Mr. Pito, which is so ironic. I know the name and everything, but he was awesome. He was really good about it. I felt so bad for him specifically with this situation.
That's an awkward situation to be in.
So
as,
awkward. And it was also, this was like a newer, like exchanging nudes was still kind of like a new thing. It wasn't like everybody was doing it yet. Or like at least via
BBM. Had our little flip phones
yeah.
and slides. And,
exactly.
Yeah,
I
totally get it.
It was taken on my BlackBerry. So there was a grade 12 kid guy. I actually don't remember exactly the name or else I would be saying it. But this guy was going around the school. He had like been one of the later ones to receive this nude, I guess, or to be part of it. But he would come up to me with his phone in his hand and be like, oh, my God, this is you, or something like that. And then he would like ask me out and stuff.
Ew, how
it
traumatizing.
Really
That's disgusting.
And he was like 18. Like, it was so nasty. And again, I didn't even really know him. So for a few days, he was kind of like bugging me. And he was like going around like whoever was nearby.
Ew.
And just as if everybody didn't already know. I know, it was so gross. But then I guess a teacher witnessed him doing this or saw it, or he showed the teacher. God, I don't even know who
God.
Was. I don't want to know. But then I got called in. I was in biology. And the person who had originally sent this was in my class with me. And
Shut
we kind of knew shit was like hitting the fan.
Yeah.
I knew at least. And so I got called into the principal's office. I went in and Mr. Pito, bless his soul, was just like, this is what I'm hearing and blah, blah, blah. I need you to know that this is like distribution of child pornography. Yeah. And I was like, okay,
your
maybe
stomach just drops right? too, right?
Yeah. And then he says something about like the police and how like, I mean, he was probably as confused as I was because I was what, like 14, 15?
And like you said, it was new at the time. So they didn't really know how to go about situations like this, right?
Totally. And so he was trying to urge me to tell him who it was that I had originally sent it to.
Which sucks because then you are forever just completely ostracized if you do stuff like that.
I know. And I will like be totally honest and say that he wasn't the only person who I had ever sent nudes to. So like he was the main perpetrator.
Yeah.
He was the first person. And I mean multiple people got the same picture. I don't care. I'm reusing
whatever.
Content.
Yeah. I mean it was good content, so I'm gonna use it.
But anyway, it just was what it was. And so he was really kind of urging me to like, if you want to tell me, like you can tell me who it was that was responsible. And he started talking about like expelling them and like that. And I was like, you know what? I said, I think that this is really something that's going to die down like by itself. I definitely wasn't this mature about it as I wasn't wording it the way I am now.
But I know,
said,
yeah.
Like, I think I can handle like getting this to not be on your radar anymore.
Yeah.
And he did, I guess, talk to the grade 12 student who was, who was really fucking with me. So that was good. But yeah, I just remember feeling so like dirty and gross, and I walked back into science class and the guy looked at me and I nodded and was like, it's fine, like it's fucking is what Aww. It is. I should have got him expelled.
You should have.
But I mean, it just, again, it's like, are you really gonna do that? Because with like all the social pressure, and again, you don't want to seem like a tattletale. And and that guy was like, he was very well connected, we'll say, in the school. Like everybody
I have a
him.
Feeling I know exactly who the person was.
Yeah,
so.
And now he's looks shitty. So.
Bum? Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like majority of those guys that peaked in high school are just not doing well for themselves.
I know.
And they are the same old person, and they are still trying to get into those other girls' pants that they tried to in high school that they're never gonna get because, well, you are not doing anything with your life. You're still the alcoholic that you were in high school, except it's gone like 10 times worse now.
I know, and it's not fun. Like,
you look like a loser. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry to say, I'm not trying to judge anyone based off of like what kind of job you have or you know what? I know that alcoholism runs in my family. It sucks.
Yeah.
But to know what these people have done in the past and to know that they haven't changed their ways and they are still these assholes, I'm going to judge you on every single thing that you do.
I mean, some people do need to be judged, you know?
They do.
What I find really interesting is when and we talked about this last time too, but now I spend a lot of time in Windsor. I do a lot of stuff in Windsor or just like Tecumseh, just areas in general. And so many people are so surprised when I'm like, no, I'm from Essex.
Same here. Yeah.
Yeah. People are shocked because it's like when you go out and you see somebody from Essex, it's usually like
in their cowboy boots with their jeans.
Well, it's either Essex or Harrow or something like that. Oh, but God, you're like, oh, that just even the way that they're acting or carrying themselves. I'm like, oh, they're a county kid.
Very much.
And like, it's okay. It's fine. But then when people talk to me, they're usually surprised that I'm not so like narrow-minded or I'm not like set in any kind of ways. And I feel like I'm a pretty non-judgmental person.
Not at all.
I take a lot of pride in that. But I think when people are like inherently judgmental or just like negative about anybody who doesn't look and sound exactly like them, it's just so telling. You can just tell. It's very
absolutely
obvious. And I'm so glad that, you know, I left Essex in that regard. And like my first job, I was like, I'm going to work at Foot Locker. Like, I'm not gonna stay in Essex and, you know,
no
whatever.
Yeah, that's exactly what I felt too, like when I started working as a server in Windsor. I worked at Dairy Freeze I still work there here and there just to help out for like 11 years now, and it is an amazing job. I love it very much, but it's all the people that you see every single day at school and you saw around town, so it's like, okay, whatever. But this way, when you go into Windsor, it's just like a culture shock.
Yeah.
Because you just see all the different ethnicities and different cultures, and you're like, wow, okay, so Essex is extremely whitewashed.
Why? Extremely. Do you remember, I think like when we were in high school, we had maybe 5 people of color.
I think that's even giving it a little bit.
I know. Some of them were related, and it was just like, but you could name them. And
absolutely.
Like everybody could. And that's the thing, is it's like when you're from Windsor and stuff, it's like their communities are so mixed and such, so that it's like they don't, it's not like a thing, you know, it's just the way it is.
Absolutely. Ugh. Meanwhile, it was like, oh my God, when I started hanging around people with different skin color compared to me, I got called out for it by other people that I went to school with. Oh, you're hanging around black guys, eh? I'm like, why does it matter? I don't understand why you're like, why are you even getting in my business for one? Yeah. And for two, what does it matter what their skin color is? Yeah. Like, there are way better people than you will ever be. Mm-hmm. And are you just insecure about that? Yeah. Like, just making the comments that they do. Yeah. And that's the reason why I very much was like, I'm taking a big step back here. Mm-hmm. And I unfollowed a ton of people, especially after the whole convoy incident. Oh, and especially after just women's rights and how they were so loud and proud saying my body, my choice with the convoy and the vaccines. But they were dead silent when it came to the overturn of Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
So that to me spoke volumes. And I had already unfollowed these people beforehand. Yeah. But it was just so hilarious how contradicting their words were when it came to them being so outspoken about this, just my body, my choice. Yeah. And like I said, dead silent when it came to women's rights. And they were even saying, well, it's like not my problem.
It's not my business.
No, but it is your problem because you said my body, my choice, right? So that goes hand in hand with exactly what the situation is calling for right now.
Yeah.
So you don't get a chance or a choice to go ahead and just pick one or the other.
Yeah.
You have to be fully on board for all of it if you want to use the same lines that we've been using for decades on this situation.
And it's so demeaning, the whole my body, my choice thing. It's like, oof, that's just, ugh, just don't. Like, it's just so stupid. Like, how could you try to boil it down to, like, an argument that you know is valid? Like that's the thing, is that they know it's a valid argument to say, like, well, you know, I should have full bodily autonomy or whatever the fuck it is. And as if that applies to vaccination status, it doesn't. But to try and say, like, oh, well, this argument has been used before, so I'm just going to use it for my cause. It's applicable. It's not.
It's bullshit. It's just, like, the privilege and entitlement that they have surrounding this issue when it doesn't even compare.
No.
Your rights aren't being stripped away from you.
Yeah.
I always – it's a lot easier to relate back now that you have kids. But RSV season was – just rampant as of recent because of the fact that not a lot of kids and people were out and about. So once it started revving back up again, it got terrible. And I know a few people whose kids were hospitalized because of it.
Oh, wow.
And it's because of the fact that people aren't washing their hands. They're not staying away from children. They're not being mindful of other people.
Yeah.
So I will get the flu shot, not only for my kid, but for other people's kids, for other people.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get the COVID vaccine for other people who don't have the same immune system that I do.
Yeah.
So people don't realize that. And I feel like it's so easy just to go back to grade 10 biology to figure that out.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, so you did mention abortion, so we're going to talk about abortion.
Yeah.
And again, this is why I think the timing is kind of perfect because we talked a little bit about abortion. I didn't know so much about your experience, but now that I do and now that things have kind of hit the fan. This is going to be a more interesting conversation.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So it's been about a month or maybe less than a month that in the States, which yes, we were in Canada, sure, but in the States, Roe v. Wade was overturned.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's up to the states to dictate whether or not abortion is legal and whatnot.
Just sick.
An awful, awful, heartbreaking thing. I don't care who you are. This is a major step back. I don't care where you are in the world. This is a major, major step back. This is terrifying.
It is.
And I think actually the day that it happened, I was on my way to record something here. And I just like was just like, and it was a day. Obviously, it was a day for everybody. It was a day for all women. It was a day for the entire world.
It was
world,
a very sad day.
I was just crying.
Yeah.
I was like thinking about the people who I know who have had abortions. We're going to talk about your abortion.
Yes.
If that's okay with
you.
That
is more than okay with me.
And this is why I love this, because I know that, again, I know that you've been very outspoken for a while now.
Yes.
Prior to this happening last month and also just in general. So.
Yes.
You had an abortion, how long ago was it now?
I want to say 4 years ago now.
4 years?
Yeah,
wow.
It's been a while.
So you would have been 22?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So I was in a very, very toxic, really bad relationship. I mean, we've all been in a relationship like that. And if you haven't, I'm sorry to say, you might go through something like that. But during the time, I ended up getting pregnant. And it was honestly probably the worst thing that had happened to me at that moment because in the moment when I found out, like when you peed on that stick and you just see it in front of your face, you're like, holy shit, what happened? And I burst into tears and I was like, I can't do this. I don't want to have a baby with this person because this person doesn't care for me.
Mm-hmm.
And this person would take my child and purposely stick around just to be spiteful towards me and make that child have a terrible life. And that child will probably grow up with mental health issues and be torn in between parents and have his dad or her dad saying terrible things about me because that's what he did, right? So I was like, I don't know what to do. And thankfully, I have an amazing relationship with my mom where I felt comfortable enough to tell her. And I asked her about what I should do. And my mom did not like this guy. And she had made it very clear he was not welcome in our house. And you know what? It was for the best. And she's never gotten in the middle of my relationships ever. But she's given some advice.
She's had her feelings.
She is. But she's never been like, you have to do this. You have to do that. She's always said, you know what? You're going to learn in your own time, which I very much did in this situation. So I told her, and she had gotten pregnant at the same age with me. And she had actually told me that in that moment, because I didn't know this at the time. And sorry, Mom, I'm pretty sure you're going to be fine with me telling this, especially for the story's sake. But she had said that she had set up an abortion with me because she didn't know if she wanted to go ahead with it. And I was like, I understand completely. And she said, you know, at last minute, I said, nope, I want him completely out of my life. He has a choice to be there or not, but he's not going to be in between. He said he didn't want to be there, which was the best thing he could have ever done for the both of us. And she kept me. But I knew the person that I was with in that moment, and I knew he would never have he wouldn't have left me and the baby alone. So I said to my mom, like, I would love to have this baby, but I know it's not right. And she said, I don't think so. And she was the one, as well as my cousin, they came along with me throughout the whole journey. And it's not talked enough about, I find, especially the how the process is. It was my doctors, my family doctors, who I've been with for years. And like since I was a baby, my mom's been with her since she was a baby. And my grandma's been with her. Aww. This was her first ever administered abortion.
Really?
That she's ever done. Yeah. Which I was shocked about.
Really?
Very much.
Your, so your family doctor did the abortion and not, you didn't have to go to.
So I didn't have to go because if you are under 9 weeks, I want to say, you're able to take the pill. So what it is a suppository that you take. And then between 12 to 48 hours later, you take, no, it's a oral that you first take, and then it's the suppository that you put in afterwards between that time frame.
Okay.
And I was only told just to take Tylenol, like that I'd be fine and whatever. And you know what? I was like, okay, sure, this isn't going to be bad. I have never in my life had such a traumatizing experience.
Really?
Aside from my IUD, which is also the same where they tell you to take a little Tylenol. It was one of the most painful situations. I've gone through birth, so I know. And it was exactly like labor. And I can say that with my whole chest because I know what it's like.
Wow.
Where to me, and my body just went into shock and I was shaking and I was throwing up. And your body's in such intense cramping and pain that you're trying to contract out, right?
It's trying to expel
exactly
this thing that's in you.
Exactly. And you're doing this at home, which also I don't think is very safe either because of the fact that you have a lot more blood coming, right? So I was even looking at my mom and she was like, I don't know, should we go to the hospital? Because it was just so traumatizing. And then I dealt with a lot of setbacks after that too. So that was at least like a 3 day thing for me.
Like bleeding consistently.
And just the pain and everything. Plus it took a huge toll on my mental health.
Of course.
They don't talk about that either. Like it's one of the hardest things a woman can ever do. And that's me personally, but I know a lot of friends that have done the same thing. It was one of the hardest decisions of my life, but it was the best decision of my life. I stick to that, and I am so thankful for that because now I have a beautiful family. But I just, my heart goes out to the women and to the trans men that are dealing with the backlash of the overturn of Roe v. Wade, where people have ectopic pregnancies where that's completely out of their control and they can die if it's not taken care of. The actual birth giver can die if it's not taken care of, and you have the risk of not being able to conceive again if it's not taken care of properly as well. And just people who aren't ready, who aren't financially ready, who are in very abusive relationships, that it's just not right for them in the moment. Mm-hmm. Or you know what? Maybe someone got pregnant accidentally and they're just like, I don't want to have a fucking baby. Yeah. Don't have the fucking baby.
This
you don't
have
to.
It's such a major thing for you to be forced to do. Like, it's
it
just
is the biggest life-altering change.
Exactly.
And no one helps you afterwards.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I had an amazing village to help me. I had my parents, his parents, a lot of great friends. But at the time, I knew I wouldn't have had that village. I was broke. I think I was like in negative balance in my account.
Yeah.
And I was like, how am I going to do this? I still want to go to school and yeah. I still want to do all these things with my life. I'm only 22.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be held down by a child right now.
Yeah, in connection to somebody who's really terrible.
Who's a really bad person. Yeah. 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 So I don't understand where anyone can say you have to keep a child because yeah. we don't think it's right that you expel it. I'm sorry. This isn't your body. Yeah. It's a lot of men. I have always felt spoken down to when it's come to men. Ugh. And yeah. I'm sure you've probably had the same thing. You mm-hmm. are a sweet little blonde girl from the county. Yeah. And people might think that they can take advantage of
it's
that.
It's easy to walk all over women, so some people like to think.
Absolutely. And yeah. at one point in my life, I let that happen.
Me too.
But yeah. now, fuck that. I am so outspoken when it comes to that. Yeah. I'm making sure my daughter is going to be outspoken when it comes to that.
Yeah.
I hate the fact that men think that they have an one-up on women and that they're the stronger gender.
Yeah, they are born with that kind of
that mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. If I have a son, oh my God, he will never be like that.
Never
he will know how
mentality.
To respect everyone. No one is lesser than anyone else.
I know.
Regardless of what society wants us to think, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just so fucking over it. And the fact that Roe versus Wade happened, we've had formula shortages already. Mm-hmm. So mothers who can't breastfeed or chose not to breastfeed, mm-hmm. which is completely fine and their own decision,
yeah.
cannot because of the fact that it's not being produced enough.
Yeah.
And then we had a tampon shortage.
Yeah.
And now we're having a shortage of catheters for epidurals.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Where it's happening a lot in Canada right now, but it's going to be affecting a lot of North America.
Yeah.
But it just seems like everything has been a war on women mm-hmm. and we have no say in it. It just feels like everything's in a downward spiral.
I know. God forbid there was a shortage of Viagra or fucking condoms or something
right?
like that. There would be an uproar. It would be a revolution. I will say, though, within the past month, there has been some, and I mean, it's again, this is the bar, right? The bar is in hell. But like mm-hmm. the men who are just like, no, like I, you know, this sucks. This is awful. And, you know,
yeah.
like, you know, we are also against this. It's great. I make it a point now that I'm, okay, wait, this is going to sound really fucked up. I'm trying to figure out how to word this where it doesn't sound like I'm hoeing out. I have made it a point with my single friends, especially, to say, like, before we sleep with people or before we're in those kind of scenarios, have that conversation.
Yes.
And, like, I say it to, you know, my younger cousins or my just people in general. I'm like, if you are, you know, if that's an option for you, if you know that if you were to become pregnant, that abortion would be an option or at least, you know, priority. Because
yep.
I know that right now, if I were to become pregnant,
it's just not the situation.
I would, yeah. yes, 100%. I know that I would do it.
Yeah.
So I have that conversation with people prior to anything happening where I'll just say, like, just so you know, this is what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I don't care what you think about that, but prior to that happening,
yeah,
I would, you know, if I were to become pregnant with
that is
thing.
Very fair.
It's no, it's an important thing too.
Yes.
And it also kind of helps maybe weed out the people who, you know,
extremely.
And I do try to have that conversation, like, you know, at least like hours prior to it
that's perfect though.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I even said the same thing to all of my friends. I said, you need to talk to someone before you sleep with them
mm-hmm.
and know their stance on this.
Mm-hmm.
And even just to word it in the way where you're not giving them the context of how you feel.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people will go with you just to be able to get in your pants.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And that too. And that's why if I've hooked up with somebody and then I have told them, like, yeah, this is an important thing to me, I'm like, and I better fucking see you
mm-hmm.
on social media sharing this shit.
Yeah.
You better understand that if somebody asks you if you're pro or against, you're clearly pro because you're, in our scenario, you're encouraging it.
Yeah.
Which means that, sorry, babes, but then you're pro.
Exactly.
Then you're utilizing
it. You can't
it as a
go
resource.
Both ways. Yeah. yeah.
You understand its importance and its importance on your life. And I remember when I was younger, because I have all older sisters, one of my older sisters, one of her best friends had had an abortion, and we were in the car talking about it. And I was young, like I was pretty young. And I remember even the way she talked about it, I was just like, this is not this big, crazy, scary thing. Like, of course it's major. It's a major life decision.
Yeah.
Of course, and I'm not going to take away from any of that. But the way that I have now been able to talk to women or people who have had abortions and had to understand like the severity of it, but also the necessity of it,
yes.
and how, it, you know, if that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do. And it's like anything in life, you're going to get through it.
I mean,
the thing about women, we are so goddamn amazing because we are born with like pain tolerance in us, right?
Very much.
We are. Huge. We are born with that. I was actually talking to my nephew about this the other day. He was 12. I said he was making fun of his sister because he like pinched her and she was like, stop it. And I said, do you know that women have like much higher pain tolerance than men? Like, mm-hmm. And it's a scientific fact. And he was all like, what? And I said, I know, because you have this idea that men are tough, so they're obviously stronger and blah, 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 blah. And you've got all this masculinity and this testosterone and there's all the bullshit. I was like, no, but women, we are born every single month.
Mm-hmm.
In pain. Like
we are.
That is our destiny. That's what we're born with. That's genetically what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And so this whole, the abortion might be the most, not be the most comfortable thing. You might do the procedure, the pill or the whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you're going to get through it the same way that you've gotten through
everything. In life, right?
Like, yeah, we're born with resilience in us.
And you know what? This is the reason why, too, I'm having another kid, where you forget about this, too, right? Mm-hmm. You forget about the pain because pain is temporary.
Yeah.
And they say that all the time, and it sounds so cliche, but pain is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that pain that I went through, yeah, it was traumatic at the time, and mm-hmm. it really fucking sucked. And it probably was more traumatic based on my situation too,
because yes,
everything just felt so terrible to me. But
it feels like rock bottom, right?
Yeah, but yeah. Then I went through basically the exact same pain laboring for my daughter,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, that fucking sucked too. But I got an amazing little person out of
yeah.
it, and now I'm doing it again because yeah. I'm like, oh, it wasn't that bad.
It's this pain that you know, and it's this pain that's worth it. You know,
yeah.
it is,
and
it
you
is
know
what
it to
is.
Expect. And same yeah. way with periods where. You get that tolerance, you know what to expect,
mm-hmm.
and you just bear and grin it, and you go throughout your day.
Yeah.
God forbid if men had periods and they had their cramps one week out of
yeah.
the month, 2 weeks out of the month,
yep.
they'd be shut down.
Yep.
We can't do anything. This is terrible. We need everyone to keep all eyes on us.
Yep.
I need all the attention.
Yep.
Like,
I mean, we are just, I mean, I'll say we're just a little bit superior if we're talking
that. Very superior. And I'm not even going to downplay that.
Yeah. No, I think about it all the time. I notoriously have had a really bad experience with just like periods and such and hormones and
yeah.
birth control and stuff like that. And so this is something that I love to talk about. I love mm-hmm. to talk, like, especially with men too. There's some men that are still and will always be squeamish when it comes to women's reproduction. But then lately I've been talking to men, maybe
mm-hmm.
this is, I'm just bringing in the right people, but who are way more
receptive.
Open to hearing about it
yes.
or just aren't, you know, and again, the bar is so low. It's like, oh, you listened to me talk about my period. Or like, wow, you are just the greatest man in the world. It's the same thing as when like yesterday actually, I was in Ann Arbor and this guy was holding a baby, like
oh,
a baby, just
yeah.
a man holding a baby. And I was like, oh, he looks like such a good dad. I'm like, because he's holding his child. I was like, wait a minute.
And
that's fucking
so funny that you say that because, like you said, the bar is so low for them.
And they still disappoint.
I'm like, oh my God. God forbid Ryan goes out to Costco with Ronnie.
Yeah.
I swear, everyone comments when he's with her.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a 7-foot guy.
I was going to say,
but
just the image of it is so, there's something about it that's so pure. Like,
yeah.
Because he's so big. And she's
is.
A little baby.
And like, ugh. Everyone's always like, oh my God, you're such a great dad. Blah,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't get that when
yeah.
I go out. I'm like, I do so much for her. I am basically like her number one parent. I love you, Rye, but we all know I'm the number one parent. And
You're
he will
mother.
Say that too,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But he's a very hands-on dad. But at the same time, I see women and I see a lot of friends that have kids with men.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not showing up and showing out. And it's like, you both decided to have a child together.
Yeah.
And yet you are still living your life like you're single and having
mm-hmm.
a great time.
Yeah.
And what are you really doing for them? You're
yeah.
just creating more stress and chaos.
Yeah.
It's like at that point, I find you might be better as a single parent.
And this is the thing that I'm talking with a lot of people and noticing is how many people are having children to fill some kind of
oof
for an identity.
Which is honestly not it.
Nope.
I will say I've always wanted to be a mom.
Yeah.
I've known that from day one, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was a little kid, I loved playing house. I loved being the mom. That
mm-hmm.
was my role.
Yeah.
I knew when I could fulfill that role and actually be a good mom. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of shit to get past, and mm-hmm. I'm still working on myself, right? Of course, as everyone
yeah.
else is.
Yeah.
But I made sure that the person that I was with was going to be a great dad. Mm-hmm. I had seen him in situations where he was amazing with kids. He was amazing with people. He's a great friend.
Yeah, yeah.
He treats me so well. Mm-hmm. And I want this person to be the father of my children.
Mm-hmm.
When I had Ronnie, I will say you have to make sure your relationship is solid.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan and I had a great relationship. Thankfully, mm-hmm. the pandemic really brought us together a lot
Accelerates
more.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's yeah. either it made or broke people.
Oh, totally.
And thankfully, it made us.
Good.
Because of that, we made it out of the first year together, and it was really hard mm-hmm. the first little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie had really bad colic. I had identity issues. I had postpartum depression and anxiety,
yeah.
and it was debilitating. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was the worst mom in the world, and he was my rock. He was like, you're beautiful, you're mm-hmm. strong, you're an amazing mom, mm-hmm. she loves you. And he would say it over and over and over again,
yeah.
and it wouldn't connect until recently, where I'm like, you're right, I am beautiful, and
yeah.
you make me feel that way.
Yeah.
But there were situations at the beginning where even though we did talk about what we expected,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't
Even
happening.
Never, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was starting to become resentment, and mm. we would fight a lot. And it sucks because you feel like you're drowning mm-hmm. in just all this shit.
Yeah. And to be with somebody and to feel alone
yeah.
is so whatever. But a lot of the time it is just an internal thing.
It's
something
very
where you're
isolating.
Making yourself feel isolated.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily what they're doing. It's just how you're feeling.
And it's also how you're building it up without talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So once we finally started talking and he had issues opening up due to past relationships, mm-hmm. I was like, you need to be open with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a very open person. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. everyone else knows. Mm-hmm. So once he started being more open with me, that's when our relationship got better. But to base my whole personality around being a mom, no thanks. I will be, I love my kids,
of
but
course.
Other kids, I'm like, fuck those kids. I don't care.
Yeah.
I am very much, I will love and care and do everything for my kids
yeah.
and make them feel so loved. But at the end of the day, I am me
yeah.
and I'm going to do things for me. And if that means taking an hour-long shower and doing my hair, doing my makeup, whatever,
yeah.
and going out and just living my life like I don't have a kid at home,
mm-hmm.
you know, within means,
yeah,
like without being
sure.
a crazy person.
Yeah, you're not putting yourself in danger or anything
but,
like that.
But I'm not constantly basing everything around my kid.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you want to do, okay, that's what you want to do. And it's like, okay, it's okay to realize that you are the same person you were before, just changed in ways.
Yeah.
And you can still do the things that you did before.
Mm-hmm.
You might just have to do it in different ways as well.
Yeah.
So you don't have to base your whole personality around the fact that you're a mom
mm-hmm.
because you're so much more than that.
Yeah.
You,
oh, totally.
You've done so much in your life to get here. And yeah.
yeah,
this is a great role, but this is not your end goal, because when they turn 18 and they decide, I don't want to be at home anymore, and they go away to school, what are you going to do?
Yeah. So, okay, you're pregnant again.
Yes. Yes, I am surprised.
When you were here last time, did you know you were pregnant or no?
When was last time I was here?
I think it was like 2 months ago now, I'm pretty sure.
Well, okay, well, I didn't know I was pregnant then, but
okay.
I definitely was pregnant then.
Yeah?
Yeah,
yeah.
So I found out early with all the pregnancies I've had.
Mm-hmm.
I found out when I was 3.5, 4 weeks.
Wow.
I
didn't even know you could find out that.
I know. I've always just had feelings. Like,
yeah.
my body
just
changes.
Yeah.
yeah. I'm very intuitive when it comes to my body.
Good.
But yeah, found out I was pregnant. So, like I said, we're house hunting right now to mm-hmm. find a bigger house.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird because this time around is, it's not, I hate to say this, it's not as exciting. You know what I
no,
mean?
No, I get it. Yeah.
Because you've been through it.
Yeah.
And you're also not as anxious, which thank God, because
yeah.
I was a nightmare when it came to Ron.
Mm.
I was honestly way more chill. I had like no morning sickness, which
mm.
was completely opposite from my last pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt pretty good. And I'm like, wow, okay. I like don't even feel pregnant. And I kind of felt guilty in a sense that I'm
hmm.
like, oh, I'm not even thinking twice about
yeah,
the fact that I'm
just
pregnant.
Carry on as if,
yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
But lo and behold, the universe was like, okay, well, back up a little bit. So I actually ended up having a lot of bleeding one night. And I thought I was miscarrying.
Mm.
So that was really traumatic for me. And I, at the moment, was trying to be strong about it. But
yeah.
it was really scary. So
yeah.
I ended up going to OB triage, which is, they're amazing there. They're
yeah.
so hands-on and sweet. And I had Dr. JC look after me as well. And I forget the nurse's name, but she was amazing.
Okay.
But yeah, so when I went in, I had the impression, okay, well, obviously I'm miscarrying.
You're getting
and
bad news. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was, oof, I was 14 weeks at that point. So I was in my second trimester. That to me was like, wow, okay, I made it this far and yet I'm still miscarrying. This is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when I ended up finding out the results, I got an ultrasound right away. Baby had a great heartbeat. Baby looked healthy. Everything was fine. I had a subchorionic hemorrhage, which I had never heard of before. So basically what it is where your uterus and your placenta attach, there's a little tear. And where that little tear happened is where blood accumulated. So mine was the size of an Oreo, the doctor said. And I was like, holy shit.
Specific food comparison. It's like, okay.
And I was like, holy shit, that's huge. And he's like, no, it's not that big. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Like a mini Oreo?
I'm like, what are you talking about? That's
flavor.
Big, that's a big bleed.
Like
but
a golden Oreo?
Yeah. So thankfully, he really put my mind at ease. And he said, I have seen this a lot. And if you were earlier on, I would be really wary. He's like, but you are almost 15 weeks now. You're in your second trimester. I'm just going to suggest you stay off your feet, pelvic rest, and just hope for the best. He's like, but I've seen really great outcomes with this. And you know what? It's the same thing when you're pregnant, how no one tells you what goes on, where when I finally did post about just being on bed rest to like a few of my private friends.
Yeah. This is how I found out that you were pregnant at all.
Yeah. And a lot of people did too, actually. But a lot of my friends came forward that had kids that said, I had the same thing with this kid. I had the same thing with this kid. And I'm like, I am shocked at how many women have gone through this.
Really?
But okay. I'm also a little upset that no one felt comfortable enough to talk about it.
Yeah.
Where I thought I did something wrong and I felt guilty that I wasn't thinking about this pregnancy as much as the last
one.
So
you thought in some way. It was,
So it just felt like everything was my fault and it was tough and it still is tough because I'm not able to go back to work anymore. I have to stay off until I'm going into labor.
Got you.
But just hearing other people's stories, it was amazing. And it was so nice to hear that there were great outcomes.
Yeah.
And they have beautiful babies that are like 1, 2 years old now.
Oh,
but I'm like, I wish that society made it a little bit easier for women to talk about these experiences without being like, oh, well, she clearly must have done something for this to happen.
Or like, I mean, if it was easier to like connect with these people or something like that.
Yeah.
I understand that. Again, there's like community and traumatic things happening to you sometimes. And that's why it is a good thing to like bond with these people.
Absolutely.
To find these people. So no, I'm glad that people were able to put your mind at ease because that sounds...
It was
that
really
sounds
scary.
Really, really traumatizing. That sounds scary.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you want to have more babies. So I'm happy for you, though.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. This is okay. So, are you happy that it's happening when it's happening in terms of like so close after Ronnie?
Yeah. You know, I was really scared. And it's only coming to light now that I'm like, holy shit, what did we do? Because Ronnie's at the age now where she's in everything. She's always been so clingy, but she's like 10 times more clingy now.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like we went to Twisted Apron yesterday for lunch, and it wasn't a nightmare, but it was a lot. And she was screeching her normal screeches. I'm looking around like, oh my god, these people probably hate us right now.
And you're always so much more in your head, right?
And I'm like, stop throwing things on the ground, please. Like, just eat your food the way you do at home. Why are you acting out now?
Because she's got a different view, a different environment.
She wants to show off to everyone.
Yeah, she's an entertainer.
Oh my god, she is. She's a true Leo. But no, so when we were talking yesterday, actually, Ryan and I, we were both like, we are going to be so busy for the next few years. And I'm like, you know what, though? We're getting this out of the way. As shitty as that sounds,
no,
too.
No, I get it, yeah.
But they're going to be a year and a half apart. Mm-hmm. They're going to be so close in age where they're going to be able to grow up being friends. And they're going to have the same experiences at the same time, basically, where we're not going to have to be a 4 or 5 year gap and then go through the exact same stuff again. Mm-hmm. So I am really happy for that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, timing isn't always right. I mean, we're still in a small apartment downtown.
Sure, yeah.
But it has made us closer, mm-hmm. and we know this isn't a forever arrangement,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so, and maybe it's forcing you into, you know, a new
it's
step
forcing
in a
us
way.
To
yeah.
move up, and yeah. that's what we needed, I think. So yeah. I definitely think this baby's a really good thing for us.
Great.
And we're really excited. Ronnie is amazing with kids. She loves babies.
Oh.
So I'm really hoping that she takes on the role of big sister. So,
I'm sure she will. I'm sure she'll be
Let's
fantastic.
Hope so.
that's so sweet. I could see that. No, I think that you're a great mom, and
the
mentality you have towards motherhood. And again, I'm no tea, no shade, but so often I see people or hear about people having babies for reasons other than they want to have kids, and more so as a way. Actually, I was
sure we talked about that. I know exactly what we're talking about here.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about specifically.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I think it was, my friend and I were together, and we just randomly were like, "Oh, we want to look up, you know, the attachment styles." There's like
five attachment styles
or something like that. We were just like curious about it because I was trying to explain it to her and I was like, there's this book on it that I have. I just haven't read it yet. And so this is going a little off topic, but we ended up looking up it up online and doing like a little quiz to see where does she fall, where do I fall, whatever. And something that I saw with mine, which I think it was like an anxious attachment style was what it had given me or disorganized or something like that. And it said something about a lot of the time there's this thing called like emotional starvation or something or something that has to do with a mother or a parent or a caregiver
Withholding
the child, not withholding, but actually using the child to make them feel better about themselves as opposed to giving
emotional
love because
incest.
They want the child to feel good. They give love because they want to feel better about themselves. And
very much.
That's something where I was like, fuck, that is common. That is so...
It is like to a T very common. And you know what? I find a lot of women with boys are like that, like children, like little baby boys.
Yeah.
And I have seen and been in relationships where boys are mama's boys.
Yeah.
And it's emotional incest where they did not have the relationship with their significant other that they wanted or something happened along the way where they just separated. So
they're
instead,
love.
They placed all their love with their son or their sons and basically made it so they were in a relationship.
Yeah.
And I've seen this so often and it is really gross and I will never do this.
It's very weird to witness,
But they get jealous of their son's significant others and they're the only women in their son's lives and
they must be
it's weird. Freud would have a time and a half.
Oh my god. Like,
if, especially in today's generation, seeing everything happen, he'd be like, holy shit.
Oh, I love it. I know. I love it. I saw a meme the other day that said something. It was like somebody goes to see Freud and it's just like, oh, I'm having these thoughts. And he goes, oh, you're gay. Here's some cocaine. And I'm like, I wish I would do that more.
Isn't it crazy? Like back in like the 1920s or whatever. Yeah, just have some LSD. You'll be fine.
Fine. Oh, my gosh. I talk about that a lot, too. I think about psychedelics a lot. But anyway, it's very, very interesting. And I like that at least we're of this generation now where you're having your kids with these this knowledge that, you know, there's certain things that need to be stopped. There's certain things that need to be unlearned. There's certain ways that you want to parent so that this is not a continuing thing. And that's, I think, the most beautiful thing in the world. I think that those are the people who should be having babies.
Amazing. And it is the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Like,
you have to be the bigger person all the time.
All the time. And these little people don't make it easy.
No,
they're so mean to you. Like, honestly, Ronnie will literally just smack me in the face. And I'm like grabbing her hand and telling her, no, I don't like that. And she thinks it's hilarious. And she'll keep smacking me. And I'm like, how do I have her stop this?
My child a sociopath?
I'm like, I don't know where she learned this because we don't hit ever.
Yeah.
And I will never hit my kids.
Yeah.
But I grew up being like spanked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I did something bad or being put in
timeout.
Understanding
that there can be physical.
So, and I'm trying to do, and it's funny that they say gentle parenting now. It's just parenting, being a good parent, right? Where I'm not going to let my kid have these big feelings without me being there to help them through that because I had a lot of big feelings and I was just told I was dramatic.
Yeah.
And you know
or
what?
You'll get over it.
Yeah.
Or this is just a small part of life or whatever. And it's like, buddy, you gotta feel what you gotta feel.
Yeah. And like I love my parents. They did what they could.
Mm-hmm.
I have said this to them before too, so they understand. It's like they don't take accountability sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's because they have stuff that they have to do on their own and they're still getting by on their own. They've done amazing work when it comes to the way they raised us, but there's things that obviously went wrong, and that's the reason why we become better parents after generation after generation.
You recognize it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm trying to be more calm and to take into consideration my kids' feelings. And she's a little 1-year-old, and you don't think that she has a lot of feelings. She has a lot of big feelings.
And it's like an abundance of emotion that she's got to get out in some way. And yeah, if she's not hurting herself or anybody else, and then that's good. And she's only one.
It's so hard because when you grew up in an environment that wasn't like that, you have these triggers, and I get so overstimulated when she freaks out and she can't calm down. And I have talked to Ryan about this actually the other day. And I said, when it comes to having a second kid, Ronnie's going to be in her terrible twos. It's going to be very hard, and I'm going to have a newborn again. And when I start getting overwhelmed, I need you to help me self-regulate again.
That's good.
And he was like, absolutely, I'll be there
for
you.
You know that. And you know what I like here is that, again, we're talking about how the bar is so low for men. But I think that what makes really good parents and partners and men is that they are supportive of
their wishes. Partner.
Yeah. 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 Their partner. So even if it's not necessarily like, I need you to take Ronnie and like go into another room and leave me alone, but you need him to help you with how you're feeling.
Yeah.
You know that, and you can identify that. And that's going to make for a really great relationship, but also like a very comfortable environment for your kids, a very accepting and loving. And obviously, that's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. That's great. I really do strive to do that. And I've been telling Ryan, and Ryan feels the same way. And we all change,
you're both
right?
Learning. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's honestly, especially like now, we've even got closer as of like the past few weeks. And it's like we were close and now we're even more close. And I love him to death. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, you are the best person ever.
Yeah.
And you know what? Tomorrow I might be like, wow, he sucks.
But then hopefully in like 2 weeks and you're like, oh, we're even closer than that. Like, that's life, right? And that's great. It's good that you have somebody who you want to do all of this ups and downs
which
and everything
is so
with.
Important. I think that everyone deserves a chance to be with someone like that and shouldn't just settle because they think that they have to.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I agree. You know this, but okay. After you have your next baby, I feel like it would be a great time if you're up for it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about all the
January 2nd's the due date.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Oh, wow.
I know. We might have a New Year's baby.
You might. I
know.
I hope you do.
Me too.
I mean, I hope it's healthy.
No, I hope it's a January 1st baby too. Yeah.
Wait, do you know? So are you going to find out if it's the gender? You're
August
9th.
Yeah. August I'm so 9th? Nosy. Oh. I could not.
I know.
Not find out. Couldn't be me.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, what is it going to be? It doesn't matter. Like, I'm not going to do anything differently, but
course,
I'm like, I just want to know.
It's still, it's in a way, it's a dictator of your future.
Yeah.
And so, okay, great. So, yeah, we'll talk after January.
Sounds good to me.
For sure. And again, thank you for making the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
It's been
great.
Have fun.
We'll do this again because I love this.
Me too.
If you stuck around to the end, thank you. I love you. I'm in love with you. I hope you have the rest of the week. I hope you have a good rest of your week, and I will see you in 2 weeks on August 25th. Girl, into